All right. Hey, I am so excited. I am so excited today for this message. And just, I don't know if it's the message or the environment, atmosphere. I'm just pumped up. I'm really excited. Amen. Here's what I want you to do. Y'all stand up with me. Come on, do this. Wake up, wake up, wake up. I want you to go and meet somebody you don't know that well, okay? Just find out their first name. That's all I need you to do. Find out their first name. And look, the crow has come to worship with us here this morning. All right, hey, jumped off. Find out their first name, and then I'm going to have you pray for each other just silently, okay? We'll just do that for about 30 seconds. And what I want you to pray for each other is for an increase, as we prayed a moment ago, pray for an increase of faith and expectancy for God to move, okay? Meet somebody you don't know, and then I'll ask you to start praying for each other. Hey, Bill, if that crow starts beating on there, I need you to run out there and throw something, yeah, up there, yeah, because he showed up. Yeah. Okay, once you find out who their what their name is, y'all just pray 30 seconds for them. Pray for the just quietly, silently. Pray for God's Spirit to speak to them, expectancy and an increase of faith. God, hear our prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. Amen. For those that are visiting here with us today, I'm preaching through the Gospel of Mark. And what I did early on is I did a prequel, like kind of three messages before we looked in Mark about the kingdom of God. Because the subject of the kingdom of God is woven all throughout the gospel. And it's the same way with this subject today. I'm going to talk about this Sunday, next Sunday, and probably the first Sunday in November. And it's the subject of healing. As we see in the gospel, healing is found throughout it. We also see deliverance, people being delivered from demons all throughout it. So I'm going to spend about three Sundays talking about this and looking at various stories and principles that we can glean. So we talked this morning about Jesus the Healer, part one. Jesus the Healer, part one. And so that's why I wanted you to pray for each other, because this subject of healing is an important one within the Gospels, and it's an important one for us to not only understand, but one to practice as a church body and as individuals. Why is healing such a big part of Jesus' ministry? I mean, honestly, you read the Gospel of Mark starting chapter 1, boom, there it is, all the way through, from the very beginning, from chapter 1 all the way to the very end. In fact, Mark 16, Jesus says, "And these signs will follow them who believe in me." And one of those signs is healing, deliverance from demons. He said, "These signs will follow those of you who are my disciples." So it's there, very beginning. Why, you think about it, why didn't Jesus pick something else? Why didn't he just say, "And all of you will be great farmers, and you will produce crops like no one else has ever produced"? I mean, that would have been kind of a neat thing, a great thing. Or, "All of you will be great doctors, and you're going to be able to give medications and help people out, and they're going to get better." He could have done that, because there were doctors of the day. There were ranchers. There were farmers. He could have said, "And all of you are going to be rich," and preached a message, and everybody that believed in him became rich. I mean, he could have done. He didn't. He didn't emphasize that so much. But what he did emphasize was healing. Now, here's the, in fact, go ahead. You got Mark, you can look at Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. Jesus, in fact, that's the passage we'll look at now. But there are many, 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 many passages you can consider. But look at this one. Mark 1, 29 through 34. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. And so Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. And again, you can look at chapter 1, verses 40 through the end of the chapter there, and the beginning of chapter 2 through verse 1 through 12, move into chapter 3, verse 7, it says, the crowds went out to the lake with his disciples, and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over Judea. The end of verse 8 says, the news about his miracles had spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him. And so, I mean, it's just, here's the big idea. Okay, we don't have any notes, by the way. So here's the big idea for the message. If you're taking notes, it's this. Healing must be a central part of the expression of our faith in the world today. Healing must be a central part of the expression of our faith in the world today. It was central. It wasn't the central thing. There were many central things. The message of the kingdom, salvation, healing, forgiveness, deliverance, helping the poor, all those things. Those were central to who Jesus was. Healing was at the center of his ministry, his personal ministry with people. And what I want you to see today are several things. This is the first major point. It's healing and the ministry of Jesus. Healing and the ministry of Jesus. Healing, the first point is this, subpoint is, healing was a clear demonstration that the kingdom of God had come to earth. Healing and the ministry of Jesus, why was it important? Because it was a central idea that the kingdom of God was now among them. If you'll go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus begins his ministry, the time promised, God has come at last, the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. The good news of what? That the kingdom, the dominion of the king is now among us. And Jesus showed us what that dominion looks like. You see, when his dominion, he told us to pray. How did he teach us to pray? Our Father, say it with me, which is in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come, dominion of the kingdom. Dominion of the king that's perfectly expressed in heaven now come to earth. And when Jesus brought that perfect expression of his dominion to earth, sin, the devil, and sickness fled. Jesus was showing everyone when he came to earth, here's what on earth as it is in heaven looks like. You want to know what it looks like? On earth as it is in heaven. Well, I'll show you what it looks like. No sick people. Every sick person that came to him was healed. Because that's what the dominion of the king looks like. When Jesus showed up, he showed us exactly what dominion on earth as it is in heaven looks like. He demonstrated to us how life on earth is supposed to be. It wasn't some freak thing. Well, yeah, that happened back then. Now we don't have to worry about it now because now we just deal with life as it is. No, he said, this is how it is supposed to be. Folks, is there supposed to be any people possessed by demons? Then why do we think it's okay for people to be sick? He saw them one and the same. It wasn't like, well, you know, not demons, but no, that you can't have any demonized people. No, you can't have any demonized people. You can't have any sick people. You can't have any hungry people. You can't have any ignorant people. You teach truth, you help the poor, you deliver the demonized, you heal the sick, you save people. You do all of these things because that's the way the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven looks like. He showed us the way life is supposed to be. He commissioned us as his disciples. He commissioned the disciples, but he also commissioned us to bring things into alignment with his perfect will. As it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. He was saying to us, this is normal. This is normal. No sick people, that's normal. There's no sick people in heaven. There's not going to be any sick people in eternity. There wasn't any sick people before Adam and Eve sinned. And there shouldn't be any sick people now. There shouldn't be. Shouldn't be any demonized people. Shouldn't be any sick people. Shouldn't be any lost people. It's his will that they be saved, healed, delivered. Healing was a clear demonstration that the kingdom of God had come to earth. Second reason why Jesus, what was central to his ministry was this, I believe it should be central to ours, is because it was a fulfillment of a prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus quoted this in Luke chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Jesus takes the scroll of Isaiah, he prophesies, or he reads from Isaiah chapter 61 these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do what? To preach what? Good news to the poor." Did he do that? Say amen. Amen. "He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released." Did he do that? Say amen. 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 "That the blind will see." Say amen. "That the oppressed will be set free." Say amen. Amen. "And that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He then rolled up the scroll and eventually he said these words, "The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day." Jesus says, it's here. I'm going to preach good news to the poor. I'm going to deliver people. I'm going to heal people. There's not going to be any oppression. Healing was a fulfillment of Isaiah 61. And therefore, it was central to Jesus' ministry. Thirdly, when it comes to the healing and ministry of Jesus, healing made people receptive to his message. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It made them receptive. Again, that passage we read there, go back to Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. Or no, we read verses 29 through 34 earlier, but now it says in 35 through 39, "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place. Later, Simon and the others went to find him. When they found him, they said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But Jesus replied, 'We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came.'" So he came to preach, and as he was preaching, it says, "So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons." Of course, we know healing was a part of that as well. And to move into the following verses, and he heals a man. And what happened was, because he healed so many people, it made them receptive to his message. It opened the door for people to understand that the good news, that the dominion of the king had come to earth, was now there. It made them, it awakened them. I was preparing for this message, it's kind of a funny thing, and I was pulling a book off a shelf, and a little booklet fell to the ground, and so I picked it up, and it was a booklet written actually back, I believe, in the 1940s or 50s, called the Shantung Revival. Anybody ever heard the Shantung Revival? If you grew up in Southern Baptist churches, maybe you would remember this story, because it happened among Southern Baptist missionaries in the 1930s in the Shantung province of China. Now, you really need to read the closest to the story to the original event, because they begin to edit it in the later years. But in this, so I'm reading just portions of this, and it kind of fell open to a page, and I started reading this story. So this particular city in the Shantung province, there was a lady, a Chinese lady, of course, who was handicapped, not just handicapped, but she was very ill, and she was limited to a, what am I trying to say, not to crutches, but to a wheelchair. And so, God, she felt like she was going to be healed. She felt like God had spoken to her and said, "You're going to be healed. This Sunday at your church, you're going to be healed." And so she tells this story. It's a very funny story. She came to church that Sunday, of course, in her wheelchair, 25, 30 years in a wheelchair, down front. She told the congregation, "God told me today if we would pray, I would be healed." And people were like, "Sister, really?" Honestly, that was the attitude. "Okay, God heal our sister," that kind of thing. And so they just sort of prayed that there was not much of any faith in the room. And so she's off to the side after they kind of, and again, it was not a wholehearted prayer, but she was off to the side. They were worshiping or something, and suddenly she stands up. And then she begins walking around without this. At 25, 30 years in a wheelchair, everybody knew that. I mean, it wasn't like, "Who are you? Where did you come?" No, she was a part of this church, lived in that wheelchair. And then, because this was such an astounding miracle, of course, then the community, the small city, that she lived it, everybody just was abuzz. It made them all open to the gospel, receptive to his message. Friend, do you think he wants to do the same thing today? He does, and he still does. That's not just a 1931 story. He's still doing it today. Even among our people here, we have seen God miraculously heal people, do astounding things in people's lives. And part of that, God says, I want people to become receptive to the message of salvation. I mean, why would we be happy with not having the full measure of healing God wants to give us? I mean, that's like saying, you know, I just want half a meal on Thanksgiving. I'm just going to eat just a little bit of dressing on Thanksgiving. I mean, who does that? I mean, don't we all just splurge and just eat as much as we can on Thanksgiving? But to say that's with healing, well, that's just something secondary. I don't really care to have that. That's what you're saying. I just want a little bit, just a portion, not much, just enough to get by. No, God says there is a banquet table here. Who wants to live in a tent when you can live in a castle? Who wants to take the devil on with a revolver when God's given you an army tank? I mean, come on. When it comes to this matter of healing, we shouldn't just say, Lord, just a little bit, you know, just help sister so-and-so a bit. No, we should say, God, as much as possible, we want to walk in this reality as you have made available. We need to be people of the Word. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And we need to be people of the Spirit. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The Word and the Spirit together. People who are grounded in the Word. Listen, you say, I believe the Word. I believe, listen, if you believe the Word, then you ought to believe in healing.
Right.
See, most people, a lot of people say, I believe the Word. I'm not sure about that healing stuff. Come on. What's wrong with you? If you believe the Word, then you have to believe in healing. Because by His stripes we are healed. He gave the gift of healing and the gift of miracles to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Healing has always been a part of the ministry of the church throughout the ages. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 15. This is so interesting to me. Romans chapter 15. Verse 18, Paul says, yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me. Okay, now listen to what he says. Okay, I'm only going to boast of what Jesus has done through me. Bringing the Gentiles to God by my message. So he preached to them by his message. And by the way, I worked among them. Now we don't know if that's what that means, his ministry work or his labor work. But he did. He was a tent maker. So he might have just been talking about his labor among them. Bringing Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them, they were convinced by what? Verse 19, by the what? By the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. I preached to the Gentiles my message, by the way I lived, and by signs and wonders. And note what he says, in this way I have fully presented the good news of Jesus. Do you see what he's saying? Is we're not presenting fully the good news of Jesus if there aren't signs and wonders. Healings, deliverances, whatever. God answering prayer in miraculous ways. If we say, well, we're preaching a message of salvation and we're living a good life in front of them, that's great. That's two-thirds. That's better than one-third or no thirds. But it also ought to be accompanied by signs and wonders, by answered prayer, by God doing the miraculous. We can point to His active, where we can point to His clear activity. I mean, think about how much more effective the witness of Christians would be today if they're like, hey, folks, look, there are 200 churches in southern Brazoria County. We know that, okay? There's at least 200 churches here. Southern Brazoria County, that includes West Columbia, Sweeney, Brazoria, west of the Brazos, all the way over here. What if half of those churches were going aggressively after healing and deliverances? I mean, not just, yeah, we're praying for the sick, but I mean down front on Sunday mornings throughout the week, the church itself was going out, encountering people who were sick, praying for them. I mean, what if we had an army of, say, 10,000 people? I'm just throwing thought, 10,000 people going after this thing hard. What do you think that would happen within our community? Not only would a lot of people be healed, hundreds if not thousands of people would be healed, but there would even be a greater number of people responding to the gospel. I mean, if you don't get anything from what this Mark passage, you ought to get this, is that signs and wonders validated that message of Jesus. It made people open to the gospel. And how much more so do we need that today? Right now, I'm so grateful that there is a remnant of people going after healing. And it will pave the way for a greater thing. But friend, I'm telling you, we as a church, this is part of our destiny as Willow Drop Baptist Church. It is part of the destiny, it's part of the DNA of our church to be a place of healing. And we're talking about every type of healing, okay? I'm not just talking about physical, but physical, emotional, spiritual, every level of healing. It's something we have to go after. God says, Willow Drive, you are a forerunner in this thing. Not among, say, Pentecostal churches, but among Baptist churches, absolutely. Among evangelical churches, churches that believe the Word. They believe the Word, but they're not operating in any of the power of the Spirit. We're a forerunner in this thing. This is something we have to go after. Not just for ourselves, but to pave the way for others so that the gospel message can be fully preached. Healing is important because it was provided by the blood of Jesus, by His broken body, by His stripes we are what? We are healed. By His stripes we are healed. That's how Matthew understood the healing ministry of Jesus. He quoted Isaiah 53. He said, by Jesus' stripes we're healed. And so as a church, we must have holiness and healing, deliverance and repentance, the Word and the Spirit. I was reading about, this is a great story, just reading about, happened, it sounded like just a couple of months ago, about a ministry called Ekbola Project. It's Tyler Connell, I'm not sure if he's the leader of this project, but they are taking Bibles to the remote Himalayan villages, especially in Nepal, sharing the gospel. And so they come to a village, and again, this is sometime, it sounds like this summer, to present the gospel to these people who have never heard the gospel. And they get up and they break off into four separate groups, and Tyler and his group go up high up. There's a monastery high up on this hill of this village. And so they travel up, they walk up to the top, and a Buddhist priest is there. And he said, we've been following you. And the Buddhist speaks clear English. He was raised in India and spoke English very well. He said, we've been following you. He said, nobody comes to our village. What are you doing here? And they said, we are here to tell you about Jesus Christ, the God who is the greatest of all the gods. And the man said, well, I think I've heard about Him. And they said, well, would you like to know Him? Would you like to know more about Him? And he said, yes, I would. They said, well, let us pray for you. And so they prayed for him, and the glory of God, the peace of God, and the power of God came upon that young man in such a powerful way. He said, I've never experienced anything like that. What was that? They said, it's Jesus. He's touched you. Well, they continued the conversation, and the priests were busy doing something. He said, you come back tomorrow. You come back tomorrow, and we'll let you talk with the group. And so they came back up, and there was, and they began to pray. They said, Lord, how are we going to talk? These are Buddhists. They don't know who Jesus is. It's not like they have some background in who Jesus is. And so they're praying, and God says, there's a man there that whose back has been hurt. And so they said, is there a person here today whose back has been hurt in the recent earthquake? And the guy said, yes, my back hurt really, really bad. They said, well, let us pray for you. They began to pray for him again. The power of God fell upon that man, and then suddenly he was healed. And they're like, what just happened here? We have never heard the name of Jesus. Tell us about this person, Jesus. And one of the guys had heard a little bit about Jesus, and they said, so the translator began to tell them the good news of Jesus. Why were they open to the gospel? What made them open? Healing. healing made them open to the gospel. And so they were able to distribute Bibles in just a wonderful way of planting the seeds among people who had never heard the gospel message. Isn't that good news? That is great news. That's what the gospel does, or that's what healing does. Healing also, let me give you one more thing, and then maybe I may wrap this up. No, there's two more things. Then I'll wrap it up. Healing also demonstrates Jesus' ability to forgive sins. It demonstrates his ability to forgive sins. I'm not going to read the whole story. It's here, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You remember the story. Most of you remember how they lowered a paralyzed man in front of Jesus. You know, remember the room was filled with people. They couldn't get the paralyzed man, so they ripped through the ceiling and they dropped him right below Jesus, or right next to Jesus. And so here's Jesus and this paralyzed man. And Jesus looks at the man, what does he say to him? What does he say to him? Your sins are forgiven. Remember that? And they said, what? Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus went on to say, to prove to you I have the ability to forgive sins, he then says, is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He turned to the paralyzed man and said to him, stand up, pick up your mat, go home. And the man did. And suddenly, not only are they open to the gospel, that was the previous point. This point is that it demonstrates his ability to forgive sins. Jesus is not only a healer, Jesus is a Savior. Amen? It proves that Jesus is who he claims to be. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who comes to take away mankind's sin and to restore our relationship with God. That's what healing proves. He is the way to the Father. Now, I'm going to tell you another story, and I may get this ethnic group, I may say it wrong. It's spelled like this. Some of you will remember this. It's this group. Y-A-Z-I-D-I. Yazidi? Yazidi? Okay. I must call you Yazidi. Somebody can come and correct me afterwards. If you remember, this is the group. It's an ethnic group in, the western part of Iraq into Syria, who in the summer of 2014, ISIS invaded their territory, killed, beheaded like 500 of them, and said, the rest of you, get out of this community or we're going to kill you. Would somebody please close that door back there? Cecil, would you do that? We don't want anybody having fun at church, do we? Come on. anyway, so 200,000 from this area, they leave and they go to Mount Sinjar. 200,000 of them are up on these mountains, with ISIS threatening to kill them all. And so all these aid agencies, international aid agencies, begin to help out these individuals, including Christian aid agencies. Well, one of the Yazidi spiritual leaders did not like the Christians being there because the Christians were not only helping people, that wasn't the problem, but they were telling people about Jesus. And he didn't want that. And so he told the international aid workers, tell those Christians to stop sharing their faith. And they did. Well, I'm not sure exactly the timeline, but weeks later, the Yazidi spiritual leader got very sick to the point of death. All of his friends gathered around him and they said, you need to have those Christians pray for you. They prayed for us and we got better. You need to have them pray for you. Reluctantly, he said, okay, I'll have them pray for me. Now he's at the point of death. They came in, they prayed for him, and within just a few short days, he's completely better. And I'm going to read you the rest of the story. It says this, he asked us to pray for him, and we did, and the Lord healed him that same week. And after he thought he was dying, the director said, the last time we were there, he was standing surrounded by all of his followers, telling everyone about how Jesus had healed him. And after I gave a speech to the group and did an invitation of Jesus, we counted 136 people who surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? All because this man got healed. It proved to him that Jesus was the Messiah. It opened his heart, but then it proved to them that Jesus was the Messiah. Let me give you one more thing, and I'm going to be done for today. Next week, we'll just continue along these lines. Why healing was central to the ministry of Jesus is the fifth thing is that healing reveals the Father's heart for mankind. It reveals the Father's heart for mankind. Turn to John chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. This tells us this passage tells us why Jesus healed a little bit. John chapter 5, 19 through 20. Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. So this was in the context of a healing. Listen, it is clearly God's will to heal. Jesus says, I'm only doing what I see my Father doing. You see, when we see healing happen, it is a demonstration of two things about the Heavenly Father. Number one, he's powerful. Amen? Come on. Amen? And secondly, he's compassionate. Amen? He wants people to be healed. Healing reveals God's heart of power and compassion. He doesn't want people to suffer with sickness and disease. God wants people to experience health. Healing is God's will. It's his will. Is it his will that people be saved? Amen? Is it his will that people be delivered from demonic strongholds? And is it his will that people be physically healed? Amen. I mean, he made our bodies to be well. He gives people a desire to take care of people's sicknesses. I mean, that doctor that's working on you, giving you the medication, he's like, you know, that doesn't belong there. We're going to get rid of that thing. We're going to deal with it medically or surgically or whatever way. But we're going to deal with it. I may not know how God wants to heal. He may want to do it naturally. He may want to do it medically. He may want to do it supernaturally. He may want to do it instantly. He may want to do it gradually. I don't know those things. But I never question if he wants to heal. I never question that. I used to, well, I'm not sure if it's God's will to heal this person. I only question if it looks like it's the end of their life. That's it. And I think that the person just has a sense of peace. This is it. If God gives that person at the end of his or her life this grace, this peace, it says, you know what, don't pray for that anymore. Just pray for peace on me, okay? Okay, I'm fine with that. But until that, I'm just going to assume it's always his will to heal. Again, how he does it, when he does it, I don't know. I'm always going to go for the supernatural and the instantaneous. I'm always going to go after that. But I'm not going to limit him. It's just that he can do it however he wants to do it. But I'm always assuming it is his will to heal. There may be impediments, all right? Impediments that keep people from it. It could be sin in their life. It could just be sin in the culture. It could be a lack of faith in that person's life, a lack of faith in the person praying. It could be a lack of faith in the environment. That's why it's important you have a culture of faith. Because Jesus tried to heal in his own hometown, and he says he couldn't because of what? Their unbelief. And I'm telling you, unbelief quenches healing. Healing is a part of God's nature. In Exodus chapter 15, he says to the people, I am Jehovah Rapha. What does Rapha mean? The God who heals. I am the God who heals. Jesus' actions reveal God's will, and the cross of Christ has made provision for healing. By his stripes we are healed. If we don't have this revelation of the Father's heart of power and compassion, his desire to heal, I'm telling you, it will hamstring your effectiveness in praying. You will always pray with, well, I'm not sure if you should or should. God, whatever you want to do. Listen, don't pray that way. Just, Lord, it's your will they be healed. It's your will they be healed. If Jesus showed up today, how many sick people would be in this auditorium? Where is he today? Please tell me. He's here. So I don't know what to do with that. That's how I'm going to end the message. Big question mark. Other than we know it's his will. Amen? Let's stand. Come on. Let's stand. A lot more to this, a whole lot more to this. I'd only got halfway through the message. There we go. Okay. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you demonstrated to us what your perfect will is. And Father, we come with a whole lot of questions, but one thing we don't question is your heart. And we do not question, Jesus, your ministry here on earth. And you are the same today as you were yesterday. And you have given to the church that gift of healing. And you have imparted to us your spirit. And you've told us in Mark chapter 11, if we say to this mountain, be moved into the sea, it will be moved if we have faith. And Lord, I'm asking that you increase the collective faith of this congregation to believe more for more of your will when it comes to the area of healing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So we're not just going to leave. I want to dismiss you. But if you need prayer for healing, David and I are going to be down front, and we want to pray for you. David read earlier from Romans chapter 15. That is a wonderful passage that he read, and I want to read from Romans chapter 15 as well. In fact, I'm going to speak this over you. David read it earlier. It's a great benediction. May the God who gives patience and encouragement help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Jesus Christ. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.